Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord.
You may be wondering if the printer made a mistake in the title of tonight's homily. It looks as though I had originally intended to ask, "Have you been born again?" and then changed the question to, "Have you given away half your possessions?" But the strike-through in the title is no mistake. It's not a typo. It is intentional. It is there to remind us that the question many evangelists ask, "Have you been born again?" is only one of many questions Jesus posed during his public ministry. You see, Jesus never said the same thing to different people. He always tailored his appeal to the particular person with whom he was speaking. So when he met the woman at the well, he asked for a drink of water. Wasn't that appropriate, standing by a well? When he met fisherman Peter, he said, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." To blind Bartimaeus, he asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" And to the rich young ruler, he said, "Sell everything you have and give the money to the poor." I find it interesting that to none of these people did Jesus say, "You must be born again." And yet the notion of being born again has become, in some Christian circles, the only authorized way to enter the family of God, in spite of the fact that Jesus said, "You must be born again," to only one man, Nicodemus. And, so far as we know, never repeated it to anyone else. I found myself thinking this week, I have yet to hear an evangelist give an altar call based on Zacchaeus. If you want to be saved, and that's what Jesus said here, "Today salvation has come to this house. If you want to be saved, come down to the altar and give half your possessions away to the poor." Never heard that. Nor do I expect to. But not for the reason you think. Rather, because giving away half of one's possessions is not a universal law for all believers, any more than being born again is. But it was appropriate for this man, Zacchaeus, because gold was his god, and tax collecting was an easy way to get it. And yet, as you read between the lines in this story, it is very evident that his God was ailing him. He was rich, says Luke. He had amassed a tidy fortune, but this was not a happy man. Something was missing. And thus the urge to see Jesus. Maybe Jesus knows the secret to a happy life, and so he determines to join the crowd down on Jericho's main street to hear what Jesus has to say. Don't tell me that the biblical writers don't have a sense of humor. I love this part of the story. He gets there too late to have a seat in the front row, and he's short. He can't see. So he climbs a sycamore tree. Why a tree? Why not clamber up on someone's roof? Or why not get on top of the bank building where he did all of his business? Ah, but that would have been too obvious, you see. Oh, yes, he could see Jesus, but Jesus could also see him, and Jesus might point an accusing finger at him because Zacchaeus was a collaborator with the hated occupying forces of Rome. And so he positions himself behind lush foliage where he can see and hear Jesus, but hopefully remain anonymous. Jesus spots him anyway. And something revolutionary happens when Jesus calls him down off that tree. If Zacchaeus had been afraid that Jesus would accuse him of being a turncoat, because that's what he was, if Zacchaeus was afraid that Jesus would have consigned him to hell for collaborating with the occupying power, Jesus did nothing of the sort. Rather, in front of the whole town of Jericho, Jesus declares himself to be a friend of this corrupt tax collector. He goes to lunch in his home as if he were not a turncoat at all, but a true son of Abraham. And miracle of miracles, Zacchaeus in that moment becomes what Jesus said he was. He becomes not only a true son of Abraham, but he also becomes a generous brother to all of his needy neighbors. Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Let me tell you how revolutionary that was. The Old Testament set the penalty for fraud at 20%. Whatever you defrauded a person, you had to pay that back plus 20%. Zacchaeus offered 400%. Secondly, the rule of thumb in first century Palestine was that no one should give away any more than one-fifth of their goods. In other words, there was a ceiling on charitable giving, 20%. But with exuberant generosity, Zacchaeus gives 50%. Why? What's happening here? A famous preacher of the last century calls it the expulsive power of a new affection. The expulsive power of a new affection. It happens every time a woman and a man fall in love. Early infatuations get thrown in the round file. Phone numbers are deleted on their Palm Pilots. Pictures of former girl and boyfriends are thrown away. The expulsive power of a new affection drives out all rivals and lavishes extravagant gifts on the object of its affections. Now, having met Jesus and having learned that far from condemning him, Jesus welcomes him with open arms, Zacchaeus expels the god of gold, invites Jesus to occupy the throne room of his will. It is the expulsive power of a new affection, and it leads to an exuberant display of generosity. Now, I say it again so that you don't misunderstand me. No one has the right to take what Zacchaeus did and make it into a law for all Christians. If the statement, "You must be born again," was made to only one individual in all of Holy Scripture, so was the example of giving away half of one's possessions. But if this is not a statute for all believers, it is a stimulus for those believers who want to show their gratitude to God for the grace that has been shown to them in Jesus Christ. And so I ask tonight, how are you expressing your gratitude to Jesus Christ? You are here tonight, I suspect, because you know Christ. And because Christ knows you. You are here tonight because you have experienced the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. You know what the grace of God means. God has lavished gift after gift upon you, and now you want to say thank you. Is there anything even remotely exuberant? Anything the least extravagant about your giving? Many think of Lent as a time for giving up something they enjoy, coffee, chocolate, desserts. I prefer to think of Lent as a time for giving away, for being open-handed, for doing something extravagantly generous. That's how I look at Lent. And if you agree, then I want to suggest tonight that you choose the one great hour of sharing offering for your lavish generosity. One Great Hour has already sent $230,000 to purchase relief supplies for the people of Iraq, and they will send more as the needs become clear. You and I can add to that number next Sunday, Palm Sunday. And then, instead of just wringing our hands at the pictures we see on television of wounded people in Iraq, we will be supplying medicine to treat those wounds. Then, instead of simply shaking our head at dehydrated people in beleaguered cities, we will be sending tankers laden with water to slake their thirst. Then, instead of hiding behind the foliage of our well-watered security, we will be out in front of the parade, walking with Jesus, because I believe with all my heart that Jesus will be ministering to people in Iraq through all of the aid organizations that are even now moving into place to help those dear people. Out of gratitude for the welcoming grace of God in Christ, please fill this envelope with love. Amen.